Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. I got a number of responses to the 2 or 3 months ago sensory challenge episode I did. And so these are listener questions associated with that. I want to thank all my listeners, because not everyone writes in drjamesbeckett@gmail.com or responds via YouTube or my podcast website or sees me at a show. So if you do have questions, I'm happy to have them, and I like to group them. And like I said, all these have to do with that, and just makes me think a little deeper about some of the things that were discussed. And hopefully the whole point is to help you enjoy collecting more, or be a better, safer, faster, more protected collector from making big mistakes or small mistakes either. So thanks, sponsors: Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication, CompC.com, Burbank Sports Cards, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Panini, Upper Deck, and Topps. First of all, just on the sensory challenges, the smelling and hearing and speaking and touching and feeling and tasting, all the different things, even the sixth sense. First comment from Bob Boozle. He mentions that if we can hold on for a few more years, I don't know if he's talking about me or us or everybody, but he said, if you hold on for a few more years, we'll be able to upload your mind into a younger vessel or a computer. That sounds pretty futuristic, but we already have things like that. AI is the combined knowledge with some misinformation in there that can be accessed through a program or an app, and that's getting faster and faster. We have access on our phone to the combined knowledge equal to a library from years ago. Okay, then he says, when talking about the brain activity that I believe keeps me sharp and going through a dollar box, it makes Bob wonder if it would be worthwhile to take a monster box to a retirement home to see if it jogs some memories or brings enjoyment. Probably for the dudes that were baseball fans, perhaps, but maybe not people that don't have any. But he says, like you said, it's not that much fun unless you can keep the cards, keep the fines, keep the nuggets. On the other hand, if you brought a monster box to a retirement home, I do think that'd be interesting. I just don't know. I think the problem is that it may need to start with an 800 count or a double shoe or album pages that are 9 per, that you can flip the pages. It might just be too intense and overwhelming to have a monster box, because, you know, one of the things that I see when I'm at the dollar box is that you can have a longer attention span. And some of the senior citizens' retirement homes, I can't see them sitting there for an hour in the same position looking through thousands of cards. They may want to contemplate them, and that's something I don't have time to. The brain activity that I have is not just to recognize it, but to recognize it quickly. And I do believe in my lifetime, in the next years, not decades, there's going to be more computer sorting machines that'll sort cards. All you need really is the OCR, optical character recognition, for front and back. And there'd be some exceptions, perhaps, and maybe there'd be some machine learning. But my problem in going in the dollar box is sometimes I've got to flip the card over. So it's not just looking at the fronts of all the cards. Sometimes it's other. Also, Bob, there's already easy access to speech to text for somebody if they're deaf. In fact, my dad could not hear very well in the last part of his life. And if you were to speak something into one of the apps, it'll print out right in front of him. He'd read excellent, but he couldn't hear. And same thing, my mom can't see very well, and she's still hanging in there, but it might be that the text could go to speech, and they have that too. So instead of her trying to read something, she could listen to something. Again, those are things that have happened in our lifetime, and those are good things. John Keating wrote in, is it talking about that the hobby should be relaxing? I think that's his point, and it shouldn't be exhausting or taxing. I think unless, John, we want it to be. So we can go at the pace that we want to go, but sometimes we can't go as fast as we'd like to. You've got to hold a lot of information in your head. I agree. And he says, thankfully, collecting is not a real-time competition. I think sometimes it is. If I'm sitting at the dollar box and I've got, and it's a 5,000-count box, and the show's over in 30 minutes, I've got 30 minutes to go through that either very quickly, maybe superficial, or so. I do think the time can be of the essence when you only have so many hours. Look, and then you want to go see another table. Let's see. Like me, is also judging his fitness by how many monster boxes he can carry at the same time. Again, I think I'm two right now. Maybe I could do three before or four, but I'm not doing heavy lifting. He mentions that he also forgot to bring glasses one time. I did, and I will never forget again because it's miserable to look through cards when you can see the picture. But some of the cards, the backs, the numbers even are really tough. Okay, another one from Torsten, my German friend, mentioning in the sensory challenge, the physical of just being on your feet and maintaining balance and carrying things, that there's a balance of sitting. In fact, one thing I do is that when I'm sitting, if I drop a card, I'm trying to reach over. And every year that gets a little tougher to reach down from a chair and pull a tiny card off the slick floor. But that's a form of stretching and a form of having balance. I don't fall out of the chair, but same thing with standing up. There is some endurance of standing up. One of my friends that's pretty health savvy said his opinion is we age from the ground up. As you get older, you notice it in your legs first. And so your gait shortens and the flexibility in your legs shortens and you have less balance in your legs. That's why people are worried about falling. And as you get older, your bones are more brittle, they're more dried out, and you can fall and break something, or you can break something and fall. Actually, I really believe my dad didn't fall and break his hip. His hip was cracked and he reached over, and the pain of reaching over and exacerbating the crack, he crumpled to the ground. And then in the surgery there, you just don't want to do that. Actually, the anesthesia, I think, as I'm discussing with my siblings, the anesthesia is maybe worse than the hip crack. But I saw the x-ray, his hip was definitely cracked. Also, this affects the hobby. How many people do you see walking around with Pelican cases, Zion cases, whatever? And they're not light because they're carrying graded cards. Almost always, if they're right-handed, they're carrying in their right hand. My trainer says, you just need to have balance. You can't be carrying your right hand all the time. You're going to be lopsided. So you rotate hands, and I try to do that, but I'm more left-handed than right-handed. Also, a roller suitcase, people don't like that because they bump into people sometimes, but a backpack is stressful on your back and on your posture as well. So I'm mainly doing a backpack, but I take it off when I sit down. But Torsten, I think one of his other hobbies is physical fitness and weightlifting, and he just recommends that a lot of people, when they do weightlifting, they do whatever's easiest or whatever looks best in the mirror. In reality, you want to do more complicated things that get more of your muscles, not just your biceps, but all the muscles that are related would be healthy and strong and flexible as well. Then from Ken Kinsley, Beansball Card Blog, he might be a music guy because he mentioned that I talked about listening to music when I was working really late at night back in the old days. And he wants to know what kind of music was good for that. It depended on my state of exhaustion. Not in this order, but probably in order of rough to smooth. I had a lot of oldie stuff, rock, not super hard rock, but melodious, symphonic, more than people shouting. I like harmony and I like great music, and there's some great old songs. So I'm really talking about more so the 60s and 70s and 80s, and then Broadway tunes, all the Broadway musicals, and then the most mellow would be the Christian music. And so it depends. If I need to stay awake, it's bring on the rock so I won't fall asleep and stimulated by the beat. And so calming, I didn't need to be calm. I needed to stay awake. But if I needed to be calm, I had stuff for that. And I had a 6-CD changer back in the day. This is 30 years ago for a lot of this stuff, and 40 years ago even. Cassettes before that, but 6-CD changer, so it'd go from one to the next. And then other times it would just be on a perpetual loop. When I start hearing the same songs 2 or 3 times, I'd be like, hey, it's time to go to the bathroom, or it's time to change the CDs. In fact, that would be a clue of time to take a break because I'm recognizing music. And then finally, Ken talks about how powerful music is. It really is powerful. Not just loud music is powerful, but it stirs your soul. And so he goes to the same shows I go to. In fact, he's the one that wants to have smaller shows. And I bet it's because of this, because he doesn't like it when at the big shows, there are occasionally dealers that'll blast music from their booth. Maybe they think that's going to bring people to their booth. I think it's the opposite. I want to stay away. I guess if I like the music, but rarely do I like the music. It just seems to be attention getting. And I'm there to look at cards and talk to people. And if the music is loud, and Ken doesn't like it either. And you don't see that at the smaller shows, but at the big shows, I guess dealers just think I need to do something to differentiate myself. And I guess if you love the music, like being too close to the stage or too close to the speakers, I don't want to have hearing loss. In fact, when I was doing my all-night music-a-thon, when I was doing a lot of pricing stuff with deep concentration, I generally had headphones on. So it doesn't have to be so loud when it's headphones. But of course, nobody else was in the office most of the time anyway. Occasionally, somebody would be. In fact, one time a policeman walked in and just shocked me so bad because he just thought he saw a light on in our building. And I don't know how he got in, but he came up and he thought maybe I was a burglar or something. And he came up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder. And I just jumped. I almost hit the ceiling because I was just locked in on what I was working on, listening to music. And I said, please don't do that. He said, we thought maybe something was going on here. I said, yes, something is going on. I'm trying to get some work done. But thank you, officer. And please don't ever do it again. And he said, okay. He said, what are you doing? I said, it's a baseball card price guide. He said, oh yeah, I heard that's big. Yes, officer. And thank you very much. So any rate, I'll be back again in a couple of days, another episode. Thanks for your questions and comments. The hobby is very broad. It's not all just baseball cards. It's not even all just sports cards. It's not even all cards, but people can hobby the way they want to and bring in music and fitness. Those are good things because the hobby is not our whole life. It's an important part, but we want to be healthy as well. So thanks, everybody. Be back again in a couple of days, another episode.